Our lesson this morning is out of James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, choosing godliness regarding gaining employment income. Worldliness is a sizable problem in business dealings. And James chapter 4, 13 to 17 begins to address this issue, exposing the worldly way of gaining employment income or an income stream and offering godly directives on overcoming such sin in the believer. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer this morning before we get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You have given us to meet here this morning. We thank You for Your grace and Your love. Thank You for Your Word and for the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We ask for a wisdom today to understand the truth of the Word of God, to be able to use it, to apply it effectively in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I would like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I'm reading from the King James Version. "Go to now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, or doeth it not, to him it is sin." Okay. The New International Version changes the term "go to" now. It uses the expression "now listen." And it begins both James 4:13 and 5:1, and it literally means "go now," and it's a colloquial phrase that is used only in James in the New Testament, in these two passages. Now, this phrase goads in the reader and gains his undivided attention, for James used it to correct the self-sufficient believer who thought he had full control of his income when the reality was very far different from that. Now, these introductory phrases mark two sections where James handles worldliness regarding business income. And the first section is James 4:13 to 17. Next Sunday, we're going to cover James 5:1 to 12. But this first section calls for choosing godliness on gaining employment income. James 5:1 to 12 deals with keeping it. James chapter 4:13 to 17 deals with gaining it. Well, James countered the worldly boast of Christians who claim that at a given point in time they would go to a specific city, stay for a specific time period, and buy and sell and turn a profit. In reality, nobody knows what is going to occur tomorrow or even that he will live the next day. This is very interesting in James chapter 4, verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, and for what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So, when we start thinking about what we're going to do by way of an income come Monday morning, you have to look to the fact that you might not even be alive Monday morning. I mean, you can get a heart attack or I heard one time that there was an aircraft that was flying over a house. It was a freight aircraft, and a piano fell out of it. It went right through the living room roof, you know. Now, fortunately, nobody was there, but if someone had been sitting in the living room chair, he'd have been killed. Well, freak accidents like that can happen. So when it starts with one's income, the first thing he ought to be asking himself is, well, am I even going to be alive tomorrow to think about income, let alone, making income or know where to go to get the income? So no one knows what's going to occur tomorrow or even that he's going to live on the next day. So in view of these uncertainties over which the believer has no sovereign control, James 4:15 notes that the godly way to gain employment income is to apply the phrase, "if the Lord will." And what you do is you apply it to each of the variables that are mentioned in James 4:13. Now, I've gone ahead and taken the liberty to break this down because I've interacted with a lot of people who are in business, some people who are self-employed in business, some who are hired by other people. And I found that when it deals with the realm of business, there are probably far more variables than what we're covering in this lesson here that can affect the outcome of a business, not the least of which are government taxes or workman's comp, or, we can go on and on. There are all sorts of circumstances. But this is something that causes us just to stop and pause. Because a lot of times we assume that we've got control in regards to our income. In reality, none of us has any control because there are so many things that are wrong that can go, things that can go wrong. First of all, the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will live to see tomorrow. See, before we even start talking about income, we have to say, am I even going to be around tomorrow? Our very life is held in the hands of God. In fact, the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our existence, have our being. So that's the first thing we have to stop and think about. Am I even going to be alive tomorrow? Secondly, the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will have the health and the opportunity tomorrow to be able to seek employment income. You might be alive tomorrow, but what happens if you wake up with this very severe headache or you're very sick and so forth? You're bedridden. How are you going to go out and get a job or make income if you're bedridden? So there's that variable, and none of us knows that. Something could occur. We might find out that we have terminal cancer tomorrow, and we've got maybe a week to live or a month to live or something. We don't know. The third thing, the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will enter a certain place to conduct some form of business in an effort to gain employment income or an income stream. This is so true. When I was a student at Multnomah School of the Bible, when I first went there, we were supposed to fill out forms so that you could take classes. And I didn't have a pen on me, and I didn't know what to do. And I'd heard all sorts of stories as a child growing up about people living by faith. So I just started, I thought, I'm going to go look for a pen by faith. So I started walking off down the street. I was 18 years of age and so forth, living by faith. And I crossed the street and went into a lumber company. What's interesting is about a year after that, the lumber company went out of business. I walked up to a guy who was at the desk, and I said, could I buy a pen or get a pen from you? Now, whoever goes to a lumber company to buy a pen? The guy looked at me and he says, are you a student at Multnomah School of the Bible? I said, yes. He gave me his pen. He was a Christian. He was a believer. He was a businessman and so forth. He was there. And so I went back to the school and started filling out my forms, and I was able then to get on with the job that I had before me. But it's amazing how vulnerable we are. We don't know whether we're going to go to a certain place and conduct some form of business in an effort to gain employment, income, or even an income stream. Then the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will stay at that effort for a period of time that makes me able to earn an employment income or an income stream. So we don't know how long we're going to be at that situation. I mean, you might enter into a contract arrangement, but for some reason the other company pulls out of it at the last minute. We don't know. There are all sorts of variables, so we've got to watch it. And then the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will buy raw materials to conduct my business. I've heard businessmen talk about the fact that I've got plenty of customers, I can sell, but the thing is, the suppliers aren't coming through, so I can't get the raw materials to make the stuff, so now I'm hung up. Now what do I do? So that's something, buying the materials to conduct the business. Then if the godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will sell the produce of my business effort. Sometimes situations develop where you've got the produce, customers are out there, but for some reason you can't sell it because maybe something is broken down, maybe there's a communication lack of some sort. The godly believer will say, if the Lord will, I will turn a profit in this whole business enterprise. With the tremendous amount of variables that exist in a business situation, whether or not you can turn or will turn a profit is something that is way up in the air, because you don't know what the market's going to do, what people are going to do with their money, how free they're going to open it up or not. Who would have thought a year ago that there would be people making good money clearing snow off of roofs? Yet it's big business. I heard of a situation, there's a company that was going to charge contractors are going to charge, what was it, $5,000 to take snow off of some big flat roof company in Hartford or West Hartford. Well, they needed to get it off because they had a huge roof. They had a lot of valuable goods underneath it, so it was the law of supply and demand. So $5,000 was the going price. Now, a lot of times it was like $1,400 or $1,500. There are elderly people. I heard one fellow call in. He says, I can't get anybody to get up on my roof willing to take the snow off. He says, I'm willing to pay, but I can't get anybody here. Apparently, there was a shortage in that particular area, so they were taking names, and then they turned them over. There was apparently a big list that the newspaper had and the radio station had of contractors who were more than willing to clear snow off of roofs. But this is a person in Hartford, and they just couldn't get anybody to clear the snow off of their roof. But it's interesting. See, a year ago, no one would have dreamed that that would be a business. But it's becoming a big thing now because of the snowfall that we've had. However, if the believer rejoices in his boasting in any one of these realms, instead of looking to the Lord for his provision and for his leading, that believer's boasting and rejoicing is evil. That's why it says in verse 16, "But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." One thing that God wants us to remember when it comes to business is if we are involved in business, whether we're hired by somebody else or whether we have the business ourselves, we cannot afford to be proud in any area of that endeavor. Everything that we get by way of income is something that God has provided. He's provided us the means, the opportunity, the health, the life, the co-workers, the contacts, the raw materials, the opportunity to buy and sell, the communication, all of this stuff. He's provided the means so that we can actually make a living. So we need to be very humble when it comes to money and income. So the believer who knows the right way versus the wrong ways to gain an employment income or income stream in these realms, but who opts for the worldly way at any point, he actually sins. So it says in verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good," and in the context, to do good in regards to employment and employment income, "and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." Now, I got into a discussion with a businessman, a Christian businessman, as I was in the process of making up this lesson, and I thought that it would be good to add something else, some other information. I want to turn to Psalm 62 because it talks about what God does. God is much more involved many times in our business endeavors than what we give him credit for. Psalm 62, I'm going to start reading at verse 10, verses 10, 11, and 12, because this talks about God's involvement in regards to how he rewards a given person in a business venture according to his work. "Do not trust in oppression, and do not become vain in robbery." That's taking what is not rightfully yours. "If wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. For God has spoken once, and twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God." I checked this in the Hebrew. The word power can also mean buying power. And I think in this context, it actually means the buying power of your money. "Also unto you, O Lord, belongs mercy. For you pay back," that's renderest, "every man according to his workmanship." God is watching over people. And according to how they work in business, he sees to it that they're recompensed according to their work, whether they're doing it in a right way or a wrong way, whether they're cheating other people, whether they're being fair. All of these things are taken into consideration. Also, whether or not a person is working hard or if he's just laying down on the job, all of these things are taken into consideration by the Lord. So the context deals with Psalm 62:10. So David reveals that God directly affects the income or the income stream of the believer as a reward for doing his will in his business endeavors. Now there's another passage in Colossians that also has the same concept, and I'm going to turn there as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. And in the context, a servant can actually be likened to an employee, and a master is likened to the employer in our culture. So I'm going to translate servants as employees and masters as employers. All right? "Employees, obey in all things your employers according to the flesh. Not with eye service, not just so that you look good when they're around, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord." In other words, when that employer is not around, remember, the Lord's looking over your shoulder, and he's checking on whether you're doing the work like you should be doing or not. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Your real employer, whether you're an employee or an employer, is Jesus Christ. He's looking over your shoulder and he's watching. I've really learned this as a pastor, because when I go into my office and I sit down and study and so forth, there's nobody who's looking over my board. I mean, the board's out there making a living and so forth. No one is looking over my shoulder at the time. But if I don't produce in the office, eventually the congregation finds out, because I got to get up and share the fruits of that produce. And the Lord knows that. But I have noticed many times how the Lord will arrange my time. There have been times where my wife will drop me off because she has to go to the doctor or something like that, and then she comes back and picks me up, and she arranges, for her to meet me at 3, 3:30, 4, whatever the time is. And there have been times when I've gotten into something, and it was about 5 or 6 minutes for her to come, and all of a sudden I saw something new, and so I was in a rush to work real hard to include it in the notes. I get a call from her say, "Honey, I can't make it. I just got back. I've got to stop at the store first, so I'm going to be 20 minutes late. Is that all right?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Take a half hour, you know?" And that has happened so many times, it's not funny. And it's like the Lord's watching right over. He says, "Okay, you just found this. You need more time. I'm going to move Nadine back and everything, so you've got the time to do this." Now, I've heard of other businessmen give the same type of testimony, or women who are in business and so forth. They'll say the Lord just carves out that time or carves out the opportunity for you to do that. The reason is we really serve Christ. He's the employer. "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done." And there's no respect of persons. Whether you're the employee or the employer, God lowers the boom. He says, "You're representing me on the earth in your testimony, and part of your testimony is how you do your work. So don't let me down. Do your work, and do it with diligence and with remembering that I'm your real employer." So it's fitting that the believer humble himself, like James 4:13-17 teaches, and that he heed God's leading in all realms in the workplace, that he might see God financially pay him back or recompense him. So the lesson is, gaining an employment income or an income stream depends on numerous variables over which no human being, let alone any professing Christian, has any real sovereign control. So instead of boasting about accomplishing a certain objective in gaining employment income or an income stream, the believer needs to realize his full dependency on God for every aspect involved, and so seek the Lord's guidance and enabling every step of the way that he might enjoy God's blessing. So may we approach every issue on gaining employment income or an income stream with an awareness of our complete dependency upon God and His will, and humbly order every step we take to be in full alignment with the Word of God, that God might provide all we need to fulfill His assignments for us. As I was in the process, I'd already actually typed up the original format of this lesson, and I got into a discussion with a Christian businessman, and this businessman had recently been blessed. The Lord had blessed in regards to the income stream, or whatever, salary, because this believer had been in a tight business situation. As you know, the economy's been, gone through the doldrums for a couple of years. But he decided to follow the Lord very, very closely instead of just go off and do his own thing or just try to get some other job. Just, what does God want me to do? And the Lord kept indicating, stay faithful, stay at the situation. And as a result, this believer has been unusually blessed in that area. And this believer was testifying it to me. And I thought this was really an encouragement. So, and I'm sure the timing of that with this particular lesson is something that is not a mistake. This is very real, what we're talking about. Our income and our employment, or our employment or our income stream, if we're a self-business, we own our own business and so forth, or a self-employed businessman, it's very, very much controlled down to the smallest detail by God, by His overriding power. So it is imperative that we realize this and with tremendous humility approach the Lord in prayer and looking to Him for how we conduct our business, how we interact with other people, how we do our work, our health, our planning, all of that, because the blessing is dependent entirely upon Him. Now, before I turn it over to you,